All right, welcome in. It's the MMQB podcast with Albert Breer. We're live on Periscope right now, live from Napa. I wanted to do this actually with the shades open so you guys could see everything in the background, but it screwed with the lighting too much. You wouldn't be able to see my spectacular tan if I opened those up. So sacrifice there. You don't get to see the mountains, but you do get to see me. We're going to do this the same way we did the last couple of podcasts. I've been to a few more camps. We did one way back when I was in Detroit. We did the last one when I was in New Orleans. At that point, I hadn't seen the Saints quite yet. So I'm going to tell you what I've seen from each of the teams I've seen since then. We're going to go through those rapid fire, and then I'm going to answer all of your football questions. Anything you guys got, Cowboys holdouts, CBA negotiations, any of that stuff, we'll cover all of it right here on the podcast. And I'm going to start with the New Orleans Saints, the team that I saw on Friday. And my big takeaway from there, they are very much in this win now window. And one reason, of course, is the age of their quarterback. Drew Brees, 40 years old. We don't know how much longer he's going to go. He told me he's year to year at this point. I think he wants to play longer. He doesn't know how it'll feel a year or two from now. So he's held back a little bit on that. What I would tell you, though, you look at the makeup of the roster. They've drafted really well the last few years. They're still in that sweet spot where they've got a lot of guys on rookie contracts. The bills are going to come due on those, and it could affect their depth in a year or two. So you look at the guys they've paid. They paid Mike Thomas already. They're going to have to pay eventually Alvin Kamara, Ryan Ramczyk, Marshawn Lattimore, potentially Marcus Williams. Those guys are all going to be eligible for contracts a year from now. And so they're in that sweet spot again. A lot of people talk about quarterbacks being on rookie deals and how that's such a great advantage. It's also a great advantage if you've got a lot of young star players on rookie deals, and that's where the Saints have been the last couple of years. Mike Thomas, the first of those guys they've had to pay, and pretty soon here, over the course of the next couple years, they're going to have some more young players to pay, and of course, I think they're going to have to make some tough decisions on some other young players. From New Orleans, I flew out to Los Angeles on Saturday. I was at camp with the Chargers and the Rams. I'm going to see the Rams again here in Napa. They have a joint practice with the Raiders tomorrow. But my takeaways from those two teams, the Chargers look loaded. And the Chargers come back with Phillip Rivers as their starting quarterback. But if you look at what they've done with that roster over the course of the last few years, similar to what the Saints have done, they've built around an older quarterback by drafting really well. And they've got a lot of young guys just like the Saints sitting there on rookie contracts. Derwin James, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram's obviously not on a rookie contract anymore, but he's there. Mike Williams still on a rookie contract. Melvin Gordon for now on a rookie contract. They're another one of these teams that's right in that championship window, and you can tell that they feel like they're in that window of opportunity just by talking to those guys. There is a sense of urgency around that place. Phillip Rivers told me that loss in the playoffs to New England was one of the two most emotional losses of his career because of how he felt about that team. He really felt like they were in a spot to win, and they weren't able to get it done. He didn't think that's the ending that they'd have, and here they are getting another crack at it with largely the same team coming back. The other team I saw on Saturday, the Los Angeles Rams. It's just interesting looking at this group right now, seeing where Todd Gurley is. You got a two-time reigning defensive player of the year in Aaron Donald. You have Jared Goff coming off a very strong third year that didn't have a great ending. You got Sean McVay, the hottest young coach in football, now on a new five-year deal. Talent all over the place, expectations through the roof. The Rams have a lot going on right now. And so I think, you know, part of the story for the Rams is it's sometimes harder to stay at the mountaintop than it is to make that climb. And so that's the challenge for the Rams right now, is they got right there to the doorstep of a championship. Can they get back? And we've seen young teams over the last few years that have struggled a little bit in getting back there. The Atlanta Falcons would be one example of it. A couple of years ago, they go to the Super Bowl, had a ton of young talent on that roster. Last year, you know, there's a strong rookie class 2 years ago. Last year, with a lot of those guys as third-year players, they missed the playoffs, injuries hit, and you sort of see how small that window of opportunity can be. And so, you know, the Los Angeles Rams are in that situation. The Dallas Cowboys, I saw them on Sunday. Super interesting team, like maybe the most interesting team in the league. It just from the standpoint of they've got all these guys to take care of on contracts. They know their setup right now isn't going to last forever. Stephen Jones told me he thinks this is the deepest Cowboys team that he's had since the 1990s, since the Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin Cowboys. And of course, like there always is, there are storylines in Dallas. Dak Prescott's contract, Ezekiel Elliott's holdout. Here's what I'll tell you. I think the Cowboys are motivated to get their big three right now done. They're going to have some tough decisions on guys like Byron Jones and Jalen Smith to make down the line, but I think they are motivated to get those three guys done. I would say that there's a good chance, a decent chance at least, that Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott get done before the season. I think they're willing to go to the Gurley level on Zeke, and I think that that probably gets it done. Maybe they're not quite there yet, but I think eventually they do get there. And they're willing to give Dak over $30 million a year. And I think for a guy who is a fourth-round pick who hasn't made a ton of money, in a relative sense, it's going to be hard to turn down that type of money when you get to the doorstep of the season. So those two guys, I think, have a chance to get deals. The Amari Cooper deal is a different thing. It's just they've sort of back that the player side has backburnered that a little bit. They want to slow play it. I think part of what they're waiting for is to see some of these other receiver deals done. Mike Thomas, of course, already done. What does Tyreek Hill get? What does Julio Jones get? Those could have an effect on the Amari Cooper negotiation. And so the Cowboys obviously have a lot going on. They really feel like they've got a solid nucleus, ton of pressure on Jason Garrett this year going into a contract year, and a name I think we'll be talking a little bit more about, Kellen Moore, their offensive coordinator. They're quietly excited about what he's going to do offensively. It's going to be really interesting to watch. Then on Monday, I went to see the Arizona Cardinals, and it was fascinating seeing Cliff Kingsbury running an NFL practice, seeing Kyler Murray out there. I would just say right off the jump, Kyler Murray is an impressive, impressive talent. Like, you can see it in the way he moves. You can see it in the way the ball comes off his hand. He's got juice throwing the ball. Just an impressive, when you watch him practice, just impressive in what he's able to do physically. Now, will it hold up when he's taking hits? When he's running around a little bit, will he be able to mitigate some of the damage? Those are all open questions. And he's a rookie, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I do think early in the year they're going to have a little bit of an advantage, the same way the Eagles had in 2013 or the Redskins had in 2012. There is an element of mystery in what they're going to do because Cliff Kingsbury is the coach, because Kyler Murray is the quarterback. That won't last forever. They could have that early on. They're one of these teams, and there are a bunch of them in the NFL right now. So like half the teams, I feel like half the teams I've seen so far are in this boat, where the offensive line is a major, major swing factor. I think the Chargers are in that boat. The Texans are in that boat. The Bengals are in that boat. The Browns are in that boat. The Lions are in that boat. And throw the Arizona Cardinals in there too. How that offensive line plays, I think, is going to be a major factor in how far they're able to take it in year one for Cliff Kingsbury. And then finally, the team that I saw earlier today before driving over here, the San Francisco 49ers, they honestly, I know this sounds weird, but they really feel like the place that a lot of people thought they were going to be in 2018, they are now in 2019. Like, after 2 years of building, their depth is better. They're just in a better spot right now than they were going into last year when they were dealing with all of those expectations. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be interesting to see coming back from injury. And one thing that I think is really, if you need a reason for encouragement with the Niners, the lines of scrimmage are pretty solid. And what I saw in practice today was very, very competitive up front. And you look at the tackles they have on offense and McGlinchey, and Joe Staley, having Weston Richburg back at center, and they're hoping to have him back for week one. Having Weston Richburg back at center would be a big deal. And then on the defensive side of the ball, that line should be loaded with Dee Ford, Nick Bosa on the edges, and then Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, and DeForest Buckner on the inside. So I'm happy to answer all of your questions. I'll see the Rams and Raiders tomorrow. I know a lot of you guys are probably going to be watching Hard Knocks in about 10 minutes. If you stick with me, I'd really appreciate it. I'll answer all of your questions now. We'll go for a little bit. Question number one from Craig Meady: how do the Lions look? I think the Lions look a little bit more just together than they did a year ago in year one under Matt Patricia. To me, so much of it's going to depend on how they are on the lines of scrimmage. So that's going to mean Taylor Decker staying healthy and performing to what they believe, I think, is a franchise left tackle potential for him. They got Ricky Wagner obviously still out there on the other side. Frank Ragnow moves into center. Getting those guard spots shored up is important. And, of course, the defensive line, they've invested in Mike Daniels and Trey Flowers. They should be better. Question number two from Pudge Fist 27, Patriots backup QB. This is interesting. I think it would be difficult for them to part with Brian Hoyer based on what he's meant to the team and based on the lack of experience of Jared Stidham. But I don't think they can cut Stidham. And so It's going to be interesting. They traditionally haven't kept three quarterbacks. They won't cut Stidham. Stidham, I think, is on the team. The question is, are they comfortable going with him as number two? Question number, what do we got here? I'm not going to need to count out the questions, right? Hude Brennan, Trent Williams to Cincinnati. I don't think so. Nina Alston, Will Wentz play on Thursday? Will Wentz play on Thursday? I'm not sure. Jeff Farrelly, do Williams and Gase work well together? Does this thing blow up by week six? This is a real nice question. Paula Takar, 49ers unseat the Rams and Seahawks. I would say no, but I think that they'll be competitive. I think the Niners have a chance to be in the 8-8, 9-7 range, which would be a good step forward. From C Road Source, does Daniel Jones supplant Eli this year? That all depends on the wins and losses. And I know that sounds simple, but if a team has a first round quarterback and they aren't winning, generally they eventually turn to the rookie. If they're winning, I think that even if Eli's a little up and down, I think Eli survives the season. If they're not winning, I think they eventually go to Daniel Jones. GU 1982, Packers D good. They're very good on the edges. I think that, you know, what they've seen so far from Zadarius Smith, impressive. Smith's been impressive. Rashawn Gary looks like he's ready to step in. I think Jair Alexander is going to be one of the best corners in the league in year two. I think the questions are going to come with how they look up the middle of the defense. C. Scriba, who will be the Chargers running back. They hope it's Melvin Gordon. They're not going to go crazy to make it Melvin Gordon. I think they're fine with Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler. We'll see. Pagans, one, will the Browns win their division? I'm going to say no. I'm going to pick the Steelers. C. Rhodes Source, Austin Eckler, I agree. Thomas Brian W, Steelers or Browns, I'm picking the Steelers. Big Jets, sexy Jets last two moves. I think you're talking about the two offensive linemen. I like it. It's what Joe Douglas did in Philadelphia. Those teams were built through the lines of scrimmage. The Eagles' hallmark over the last 3 years since Doug Peterson got there has been their offensive line. Jason Peters, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey. And now they've got more depth, and you're seeing that philosophy now carry over, even though Joe Douglas didn't even get a chance to draft there, didn't get a chance to go through a real full free agency. He's found a way to make improvements in the offensive line. I like it, and I think that you're going to see more of that going forward, which is badly, badly needed in New York. IB Jessev, think Gettleman, O-line, and D-line moves are underrated. I like Dexter Lawrence. Maybe the high-end potential isn't what it is with some of the other players, but Dexter Lawrence is the kind of guy he drafted in Star Lutulele in Carolina. And, you know, we've seen him. He can evaluate big guys. We've seen that in the past. And I think that the investment on the offensive and defensive line is smart. Whether or not you think you got those moves right, that might be another move. But C. Road Source, what do you think? Who do you think starts the corner opposite of Janoris Jenkins? Good question. Maybe Beal. Brandon Coates. Oh, no. Is he hurt? I can't remember. Brandon Coates, 7. Ravens won the will win the AFC North. We'll see. Jordan Miller, 81, Haskins week one start. I'm going to say yes. Joel Gordon, Billy O on the hot seat in Houston. I think all of that really depends on how the offensive line plays and the sort of state that the organization is in. I don't think it's impossible that they make a move there. He's got a lot of years left on his contract, though, and I do think that the owner's got his back. Timmy, SAU, Bills challenge the pass. I think the Bills are going to be better. I really like what they did in free agency. A bunch of middle-class moves, guys like Cole Beasley, John Brown, Mitch Morris. They did a nice job in free agency. What we got? Eggs over easy. Chance the Falcons make a deep playoff run. I think the talent is there. Like, and especially if they get Caleb Bagheri back, they've really invested in fixing the offensive line. And if the defense can stay healthy, they lost Deion Jones and Keanu Neal last year. That defense has got potential to be like a solid, solid defense. Like, that was trending to be a top 10 defense before all the injuries. And so I really like where the Falcons are from a talent standpoint. Keep an eye, of course, on what happens offensively with Dirk Koetter and Mike Mularkey there. Matt Ryan hasn't been able to get quite back to the level he played at under Kyle Shanahan, but he does get two coaches now that served as his coordinator, you know, in two different stints over the course of his first 6 years in the league. Mr. Nice Guy, 4-22. Any news about Clowney? That hasn't changed since the beginning. He'll be there right before the season starts. Joel Gordon, what's this Rams offense going to look like? Are the Ravens offense going to look like? The Ravens offense is going to be very different looking, and I think you're going to see elements of like what Navy does. I think we're going to see elements of what like Florida did with Tim Tebow. I think the most interesting element of it, though, is how do you protect Lamar Jackson? How do you keep him from taking too many hits? Kevin Byrd, can Kyler Murray actually play? Kyler Murray looked outstanding at the practice that I was at. I know they're really excited about him. Like, wow plays every day. What they've seen from a potential standpoint off the charts there. Again, doesn't mean he's going to be a great player. From BJ Essie, do you think Gurley's 100%? I think he's 100% of what he is right now. I think because of the issue in his knee, that's not going away. I mean, that's going to be a longevity thing. How much longer he can play on that? But I think as far as like where he needs to be to play in 2019, I think he's okay on that and from that standpoint. Coates 84-19. 2/3 of the Patriots staff is new in their 20s. How effective will they be? Bill's done a good job of identifying guys within the building. I think it's a lot on the defensive side. And so I think that they're going to need Bill's help over there. Of course, the plan was to have Greg Schiano. That plan did not wind up coming together because of what happened in March. And so I do think that that's going to be interesting because of you've got all these young guys, and Jerod Mayo probably at the head of the list of guys who are going to lead on the defensive side of the ball. Corey M. Sanford, over under 25 touchdowns for Derek Carr this year. I'd say I'd take the over on that. I think Derek Carr is going to have a decent year. I think there's any chance Luck misses the regular season action with the calf. I don't think so. In fact, when I talked to him, he kept referring to it as an ankle injury. I'll take 10 more questions. I know you guys are getting ready for Hard Knocks. So let's do 10 more questions, then we'll jump out. Question number one, Josh Allen fan. That's from Timmy SAU. I think Josh Allen has better infrastructure around him now, and that's a big deal. Brian Daboll ran an offense at Alabama that I think would be – I think can work for Josh Allen, and we saw some of that last year. Mitch Morris, John Brown, bringing in Cole Beasley. You've done some things to create some easy completions for him. You've done some things to create some protection for him. You've done some things to create a deep threat for him. I like where the Bills are at from a talent standpoint right now. Question number two, Barkley, 3,000 total yards. I don't think so. That's a bit much. Especially if the Giants are playing from behind a bunch. Question number three from Brandel Shermard. A lot of teams with weak offensive lines, do you see anyone coming available on the waivers with decent upside? I think it's going to be tough to find decent offensive linemen. There aren't very many teams that have a surplus of them. The Cowboys would be one, or if you're another team, you might call about somebody like a Xavier Suofilo. Someone like that could come available, but it's just such a tough position to fill. It's hard to find good ones, and that makes it hard to trade for good ones. Question number four from Ollie underscore the last legend 9, Rosen bounce back. I think Josh Rosen has a chance to bounce back in Miami. So much is going to depend on the guys who develop around him. I think that the Dolphins are going to give him every opportunity to try and prove that they don't have to draft one next year. But the chance obviously is still out there that they're in the Tua/Herbert sweepstakes. Question number five. From Girk Nowitzki, McCaffrey have a chance at 1,000-1,000. I think he absolutely has a chance at being a 1,000-1,000 player. They're going to give him the ball a lot. And I see some of the things that we saw early in the year before Cam Newton got hurt, some of the creative stuff from Norv Turner, really working to showcase what they've got in McCaffrey. Question number six from Penn Fun. Will Falcons finally have a decent defense? They should. If they're healthy, that should be a really good defense, actually. Lots of good young talent on the defense. Question number seven. Cheese in 1982. Chances Brown's disappointment this year. Not impossible. I like Freddie Kitchens as the coach. More so, I like his staff. And I like that he was able to get, Prefer to run the special teams, Wilkes to run the defense, Munkin to help him on offense. And I love Baker Mayfield. And so I think the real question with the Browns is going to be when they lose a couple games in a row, because most teams do hit those sorts of ruts, how does the whole thing come together? The good thing about it, and talking to Freddie about this over the last couple of weeks, it does sound like he's already trying to get in front of that, which he's acknowledging. He's got a lot of big personalities on the team. Guys are going to have to find ways to subjugate their egos, and they're not really going to be tested. All of that's not really going to be tested until they hit some bumps in the road. I'll do three more questions. I think that was seven, right? What do we got, guys? There's still 140 of you out there. What do you got? I know this is late. I'm on the West Coast, which is why we're doing this. Anybody got any more questions? I can scroll for old comments. All right, so Timmy SAU Super Bowl pick. I said Eagles Chiefs. I'm almost wanted to say Eagles Colts, but Eagles Chiefs would be my early one. Question number nine. Does Drew Brees seem like he slowed down last year? That's from Penn Fun. I think there were some ups and downs in December, and I think because it happened in December, we all want to draw the correlation to his age. Maybe he was wearing out. Maybe the wear and tear of a season at 40 years old or 39 years old at the time started to get to him. I don't know, because you know everything that he said to me when we talked last week, he said that he feels great right now, and that where he's at physically he feels like he's fine to keep going even beyond this year. And finally, question number 10. This is from BJ Esiv. Hard Knocks time later, Albert. Later, guys. I appreciate you guys coming out. As always, I want your feedback. I want to see whether or not you guys like this format too, because I think we're going to try and keep it during the regular season and do some podcasts this way. Just an innovative way to try to get feedback from you guys, to try to interact with you guys. So please hit me with your feedback at Albert Breer on Twitter, at Albert _ Breer on Instagram, at Albert R. Breer on Facebook. You can also get all of our podcasts, right? Like all the podcasts in the MMQB family on the MMQB NFL podcast feed. We've got the Monday morning podcast with Andy Benoit. We got my podcast, which runs on Tuesdays. We have the Bad Football Movies podcast, I think, coming back soon. You guys can get all of those on one feed on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. We will see you guys same time next week. Later. Enjoy Hard Knocks.